Welcome to The Young
and the Weary,
the podcast where we explore life and comedy through the eyes of me, Jeremy Pinsley, a 32-year-old stand-up comedian from Nashville, Tennessee, and Dev Rogers, an 88-year-old comedic actress living here in the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
That's it, 88 years old. Oh, it's bagel time. Oy vey.
Dev, how you doing today?
Zachem vey, can I speak Yiddish?
You can, but we might need you to translate.
Okay, it hurts a little today. Everything hurts today, but okay, it's enough of that, right?
I guess that's enough. Yeah. Does the whole body hurts? Does the mind hurt?
The mind always hurts, so we don't even know, right? Didn't you tell me that? You told me that.
Oh, I don't think I'm trying to spread that kind of news. You know, I think it can hurt, but we're trying to ease our minds as much as possible. Isn't that what this podcast is for? It's therapy?
I thought... Only if there's wine. If you're not drinking wine or alcohol, then what kind of therapy is it?
Well, we can save that for after. Maybe we'll have a drunk episode where we're just both really drunk.
I'm ready.
Speaking of drinking, I was doing shows in Atlanta recently, and it was a lot of fun. I got to perform in front of a lot of college friends and people I had known my whole life. So, and it's always fun when you get to perform in front of people you don't know, because normally it's strangers. But when it's people you don't know, like, you really know your audience, so you can get away with anything. Like, when I'm home in front of people, I can say absolutely whatever I want.
That's a lucky place to be in this world. Do you always have bad language in your jokes?
No, I don't. And I think I used to when I first started. I think when you're younger.
Even when you're older, I wouldn't know how to incorporate bad language. Unless somebody's giving a course, and I'll pay for the
cussing and comedy course. Yeah. I will happily teach that one, the proper use of the word fuck to enhance a word.
I don't think it'll look good coming out of me.
It may or may not. Some people might find it funny. But I think early on, I think there is a world for cussing and comedy. But when you're a younger comic, you model yourself off of people that you looked up to.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the best comics in the world, the George Carlins, you know, even Lenny Bruce, who opened the door for bad language, they're people that you respect, and you kind of want to emulate because...
Well, you need models in life, because otherwise, how the hell do you schlep yourself along?
Yeah, exactly. And when you're younger and you're trying to figure out comedy, that's really all you have to hold on to are those people that you look up to. And so at first you're modeling off of them. You're like, well, if George Carlin could say his 7 dirty words and fuck this shit, like, I can go up there and do it. And the problem is when you're young in comedy...
The audience isn't the same as it is for George Carlin.
That is very true. George Carlin knows his audience, whereas I'm going up in front of strangers who may not want to hear that. And when some 24-year-old kid's like, this fucking guy, and it's like, fuck this and this shit, it just sounds immature and stupid.
It's very easy to sound immature and stupid.
Yeah, it is.
You know how easy that is?
I've done it most of my life.
That's more easy than curse words.
Are curse words immature? Do you look at them as immature?
Probably. Well, when you get to be my age, there's a lot that gets lumped into immaturity because there's so much baggage from the past.
Huh. So but do you still look at yourself as immature at times?
I don't know how to look at myself as immature because how do I look at myself as immature? When you get to be this age, immaturity doesn't seem to be a word that applies.
Yeah, that's why I was confused. But like that was interesting because when I was in Atlanta, my friend's mom came to the show. She had never seen me perform before. I think she was like afraid to see me perform, which I found interesting because I think the way she thought my comedy was going to be was that it was going to be very vulgar, probably immature, probably say some stuff that was just like... stuff that she didn't want to hear. But she came to the show, and at the end of it, it was one of the most rewarding parts for me. She comes up to me, and she's very mom drunk at the time. She's probably had like 6 mixed drinks. Like, oh my God, Jeremy, I love you so much. You're so great.
Well, she knew you when you were growing up there too, so she's like extended family, no?
She is. She knew, but she didn't know me until I was in college. Her son and I became friends in college. So she only knew... the college part of me, yeah. Which is probably when I was in my most immature phase. So she knew me from a world of getting drunk all the time and having no boundaries.
That was you then?
Yeah, I think so.
I never went through that. Could you help me find that kind of life?
Go to college. That's all you really need.
Oh, but at my age, I go into a classroom and everybody's at least 60 years younger than I am. That doesn't...
Well, hey, that makes it even more fun.
Oh, I'm with help, I possibly could.
Yeah.
Without help, it wouldn't work, you know.
Yeah, but I had this immature time, and she knew me from that. And I think she assumed, I'm still young to her, I think she just assumed it was all going to be filthy and dirty. But I make a very concerted effort nowadays. If I'm going to use a cuss word, it's for a reason. It's going to enhance a joke. It's because, you know, we're halfway in the set, and it just seems like a topic where it makes sense. But I'm also able to work clean, and I want almost all of my material to be clean. Because if your goal in comedy is to make people laugh and to spread a message, if you can do it without offending as few people as possible, that only expands your communication, who you're reaching out to.
It's curious that your relationship with an audience is a lot more powerful than all the other relationships in your life.
That's an interesting question. And it's like, at first, no, when you're first into comedy, you're like kind of still in reality. And then all of a sudden, you're more comfortable. I'm probably most comfortable when I'm on stage. I like the connection that I get with an audience. Like, you can hold on to that for days. Now, obviously, it's nice to make strangers laugh, and it's nice to make people, but I would never actually value anything more than a real relationship that I develop.
Well, that's not a jeopardy at this time.
No, I mean, I think there's always a balance in life, but in comedy, the more you do it and you're going on the road more and you're focusing on it more and you're getting more opportunities and you kind of get separated from your real life a little bit more. It's hard. I don't go to friends' bachelor parties anymore. If I'm going to go to your wedding, that's already a weekend I have to take off of what I do. So, you know, I'm missing out on a lot of opportunities with friends that are still my good friends. I just don't see them as much because comedy is where my focus and my heart is at the moment. So, yeah, I value that relationship with an audience.
Well, the audience affirms you.
If the audience affirms you. Exactly, because you definitely go through some bad times. You bomb early on. Bomb is the term for doing really badly.
I don't think I've ever seen somebody bomb. Maybe.
Oh, God. You should have come to some of my shows early on. There were some rough ones.
At some point, if this relationship here continues, could I hear a bomb?
Yeah, I mean, ideally we don't want to hear a bomb, but if I take you around New York City and we go to some shows, you're going to see a bomb. You know, people are bombing all the time. There's different levels of bombing. Like, you know, there's the bomb where you don't know what you're doing and it's complete failure and everyone just feels awkward and it's like, please end this time. And then there's just a bomb where your jokes aren't hitting that hard and it's kind of just the audience, you're not connecting with the audience and it's just, you kind of learn to kind of accept it and you just kind of move forward. But the key, in my opinion, I see some comics bomb, younger comics especially, and a lot of it is because they're cussing the entire time. And I heard one kid say, my dick, 15 times in like a 2-minute time span.
Does he get many jobs?
No, he doesn't. He was getting laughs at the moment, though, which was ironic. The audience was eating it up because there was something funny, but I'm sitting there, I'm like, my dick. I'm like, clearly none of this is prepared. None of this is strategic. It may be funny. You may sound cool talking about it, but no one wants to hear about your dick, especially 15 times in a 2-minute span.
We're not going to try that out here.
No, you want to say my dick 15 times and see what's funny?
No, I wanted you to do it because I don't hear
my dick, my dick, my dick. Yeah. No, we don't need to.
Because you're the dickest person here. The rest of us.
I think I'm the only dick here. Yeah. Well, Bruce is off meandering around somewhere, but yeah. So. People bomb all the time, and a lot of times people blame the audience, which is always unfair to me. You know, if you bombed, if you're not connecting with the audience, like, they're there to be connected with. They wouldn't be there for any reason, so if you're not connecting with them, it's you take that feedback. And you can either ignore it and never grow and never change and keep talking about your dick and never get the jobs.
Do you know anybody who keeps talking about his dick over
yeah,
a
I see a lot of... And
over a period of time?
Over a period of time, yeah. A lot of young comics. And I think...
That's because they don't want women competing with them. This is an anti-feminist quality to having your dick as a subject matter for humor. Huh. Because if you're really dickless, then you don't turn that into comedy.
So you think by bringing up your dick... I mean, is it like putting your dick on a pedestal? Is that basically what that is?
Well, it means that the fact that you're male is the only thing that counts, and you don't know where to go from that.
Hmm. That is so interesting. I mean, it could be true. I'd have to talk. I know some of these people. I'd have to talk to them about if they really thought about why they're saying the things they say.
You could do that. It'd be a great interview process taking place with the...
Yeah, it would be. Because, I think comedy, what you respect is thoughtfulness in your comedy. The jokes are clever because clearly the issue has been thought out. And you might be talking about a dark issue, but if your thoughts are thought out and your words are meticulously planned, then it can be effective. If you're just throwing out my dick, going off the cuff.
I don't think I go to any comedy shows. I suppose it's an experience.
You came to mind a little while ago. You remember that?
Probably not.
Probably not. I guess we didn't make an impression. You said you really liked me after the show, so I'm holding on to that compliment.
Where was it?
It was at the New York Comedy Club.
I think, my brain doesn't... My brain is part of my aging process, but my brain doesn't have enough of a sense of humor left.
So. I think you do. I think you don't give your sense of humor enough credit. I think it's there.
Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah. We'll take you to a club. I'd be curious to hear what you think.
I would love to go to a club that you choose, and then I can watch your reactions, and then I can register mine.
Yeah.
And see that there's something about the, the age difference and the world of experience behind it that alters a response.
100%, because you change the audience so much. If I'm speaking to one group of people that's young, I know what to say to them. If you're in there, you're now balancing a totally different group. So you can relate to all those age groups.
I'd be curious to see some of your different experiences that you have.
Yeah. With
who you relate, how you relate and how you shape it.
Totally. And I'd also be curious because there is, you go to a nightclub, there's going to be a lot of bad language, maybe some offensive topics, but...
Bad language is no longer bad enough.
What do you mean by that?
Because if you hear it often enough, it loses a lot of its electricity. It's just...
Yeah, I agree with that.
Life becomes a big so... Did you hear this?
I agree with you.
Life becomes a big so what? But you don't want to do that to your life because it lasts so long, it has to last longer. Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that bad language... I get that you hear it too much and it loses its power, but do you still think it can be used to make something funnier, to express a point more?
It has to be highly selected, not just a way of having something useful or reflexive to fill in, because an awful lot of life is like that anyway. But I don't go to any comedy show. I need to go to comedy shows.
We're going
to
take you. We're going to get you to some shows.
Oh, I have
to. It reminded me of a good quote from George Carlin because, I think some people want no offensive language. And he was like, you don't need it. You don't need offensive language. But he was like, you also don't need paprika or oregano. But a little bit, you add a touch of it here. You use it at the right time. It can actually make everything a little bit better.
Yeah.
So, that's why...
That was a good analogy there, yeah.
Well, George Carlin was a genius. He had his bit, The Seven Dirty Words. Have you heard that bit? We watched it yesterday. Do you remember that one?
I remember so little.
Well, The Seven Dirty Words, shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. Those were his seven dirty words.
He made up the list himself or he got it from somebody?
He made up the list. But in his joke, he talks about how everyone's list is different. And that's what makes... what's okay to say and what's not really hard to determine because what I find offensive, what's on my list, is definitely not going to be on your list.
So is there anything to talk about at all?
There's always something to talk about.
It seems to be that the list is more important than a spontaneous expression.
No, I wouldn't say the list is more important. I think it's just pointing out that, what might not be offensive to you is offensive to someone else. Would you add any words to your list? Any other words that you don't think should be said on TV?
I don't even remember your list, so how could I?
What words shouldn't be said on TV? We'll see if they stand outside of that.
What words should not be said on TV? Fuck, I think is the thing is, a word like fuck is sort of like a simple excuse. Somebody just, it's like you're handicapped and you need a crutch. So
totally. I think there was a lot of fuck crutches early on in my career, just using bad words as...
Yeah. Well, you did, you know, but you left that behind because you develop in a career.
Mm-hmm.
So you develop in what kind of words you can use, and you find humor in different ways.
Yeah, I still think, though, when used properly, like Patton Oswalt's one of my favorite comedians, and he has this bit about a sex party that he accidentally walks into, and then this guy disappears in the woods, and he calls him Fuck Squatch. As opposed to Sasquatch. He's like, oh, fuck Squatch, walking in away into the woods, never to be seen again. And on one hand, that's like really immature. But on the other hand, I'm like, you can't make that funnier than fuck Squatch. So fuck was the only word that could be used in that situation.
I don't think I know the word Sasquatch.
Do you know what a Sasquatch is?
No, is it an umbrella?
We can start Dev's Sasquatch umbrellas. They take up two city blocks so you don't get any rain on you. No, it's not. It's like a beast. It's like a, I guess like Bigfoot is a Sasquatch.
Who's Bigfoot?
Bigfoot, well, no one knows if he's real, but he's like a monster, like a big, hairy, like mammal monster. I don't really know how to describe it. But the point is that fuck was just that, like, yes, it can be a crutch. But again, when used at the right times, it enhances a joke and makes everything a lot funnier. So we had some homework for you last week. You had to read Mrs. Doubtfire, the book. Did you enjoy?
I thought it was clever.
Clever? Not funny?
No.
You didn't find any part of it funny? I thought you said it was funny yesterday. You're like a 180.
Well, sometimes 24 hours shifts things, too.
Oh, man, we might have to do your homework just 5 minutes before every episode.
Yeah, so. That's true. You're probably right about that.
So you found the book engaging and clever, but not funny. We also watched the movie with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Did you find that funnier?
It was clever.
Not funny? You didn't find it funny?
I don't know what's funny and not funny. Clever is another category.
I've noticed, though, every time we watch something that you like... I go, did you like that? You nod. You go, clever, funny. I liked it. Now you're just leaving the funny out. You're saying it's just clever. But from what I've picked up, your sense of humor is, if it's clever, it's better. It's funnier. Do you not agree with that?
Well, to be clever is better than to be funny without being clever.
Yes. Can you be funny without being clever? Is there anything to
shallow humor? Probably, but that would be sort of a low-level kind of humor.
And you wouldn't engage with that?
Well, I can hear it if I need to.
Because, like, there's movies out there, like Dumb and Dumber is a movie.
I haven't seen it.
I figured you hadn't seen it. The funny part about Dumb and Dumber, it's a movie with Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels. Jim Carrey is a comedy legend, one of the best of all time. It's just a stupid, but it's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
Dumb and Dumber?
Yes. Dumb and Dumber.
So I could get it on Google?
You can get it on Google. I would love to watch that movie with you.
I'll do it. Let's set it up.
We will. Something tells me 15 minutes into it, when you're staring blankly at the screen.
Well,
I'm like, maybe this one's just for me.
Well, it helps to discriminate.
Does it? Is that a good lesson?
Means that you're being thoughtful and reflective and learning.
Yeah, learning. But it's funny because I always respect good comedy over the cheap comedy, but something like Dumb and Dumber, there's a movie with Andy Samberg called Hot Rod. Like, there's some of the dumbest movies ever, but I laugh so hard during them. Because there's an awareness of how dumb they are. It's not like they're dumb ignorantly. Because what I hate is ignorant comedy. I hate people who are ignorant and confident. I don't mind playing into some shallow humor. If it's for the sake of...
It makes you feel superior. And that's part of your experience.
That's a very interesting point. That's actually one of the... There's a couple laugh triggers. There's things that make people laugh. And superiority is one of them. So when you give your audience a sense of... If you self-deprecate, I'm stupid, I did this. They're like, oh, I'm not as dumb as he is. That's going to make people laugh.
Your audience needs that?
People do. It's something that triggers...
People need to feel that they're smarter than the performer.
Not necessarily smarter than the performer. They just need to feel better about... I think people can be hard on themselves. So when you go to a comedy show and you see someone making light of the mistakes they make, you kind of go, oh, I don't have to take myself so seriously. Look at this idiot. He seems fine. He's happy. that superiority, I think people definitely come to comedy.
Well, it helps you to be lighter on yourself.
Yeah, it does. The funny part about Dumb and Dumber, though, because it is lighthearted comedy, my grandma took me to that, me and my brother, to that movie.
The real grandma?
My, yeah, I'm sorry. I have a, there was another one out there. I'm sorry, Dev. You're really grandma number three. I had a step grandma.
Grandma number three.
Oh, no, wait. Dev, I'm sorry. You're grandma number five.
Number five?
Your grandma, Mambo number five, grandma number five.
I think if, I have to understand how that doesn't depress me.
It's not impressive. The good news is, and this might be sadder than some people here, they're all gone now, so you're currently grandma number one.
Oh, you mean because I haven't died?
You haven't died yet, yeah.
That's how you get to be grandma number one, because you're still alive?
Yeah, well, you have to become grandma number five first. That was an accomplishment. You're the, there's no grandma number six.
She disappeared.
She wasn't ever here.
I don't think I can stand being a numerical grandma.
You're number five in the books. You're number one in our hearts, Dev.
Thanks. That earns me a half a bagel with something on top of it.
Because, damn right. You know, we're putting, you're getting lox, you're getting schmear, you're getting the whole
I'll
nine.
Get the whole nine or eight or seven and a half.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'll get there. But it was funny. My grandma took me to the movie. She had no idea what to expect.
What was the movie?
Dumb and Dumber. She took me and my brother in theaters. I was 10. She thought it was like simple fun. And then she left like, oh my God, what have I done? It's not a movie you want to see with your grandma. There's nudity. There's like a scene.
She became responsible for poor judgment.
Yes. And she didn't learn her lesson because she bought the kids Wayne's World. She bought us the movie Kingpin. All movies that are completely inappropriate for 9-year-olds. She just, oh, that seems fun. No analysis into what she did. Just throwing us inappropriate movies. And I loved her for it. I think she hated herself for it, but I loved her for it. So that was fun. So you liked, did you appreciate Robin Williams' performance?
Yeah.
Would you say that was the highlight of everything?
I think so. Well, it lasted longer. Highlights always last longer. Could I have a half a bagel with a schmear on it?
Can you wait 2 minutes before we're wrapping
can
up?
Can I wait 3 minutes?
This is a test. Can you wait 3 minutes and then we're going to get you that bagel?
Okay. Do you mind if I time you?
Yeah, set that time. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
3 minutes. We loved Robin Williams. He was great. We have homework for next week. What we want from you is an ability to find humor in our everyday lives. And because you forget what happens every day, whenever I ask you what happened your week, you're like, I don't know. What did you do 10 minutes ago? I don't know.
Well, the loss of memory has got to be funny, because what else have you got?
Exactly. It is funny. But we want to find a way to also find other things to talk about in your comedy. So I want you to start a journal.
Okay, if you give me a piece of paper, I'll get a pen.
What am I
supposed to write?
It's going to be up to you. And
you mean it has, whatever I write has to be funny?
It doesn't necessarily have to be funny. I write comedy sometimes. I don't even write for the humor. I write to get my feelings out, my thoughts, to get everything out on paper. And then, so what you can do is you can write, because you don't even remember what you did during a date, right? Did you go to the theater? What show did you see? How did that show make you feel? So maybe something that you did, and then if you have an emotional reaction to something during the day, I noticed writing about something emotional that means something to you is where my best stuff comes from. So it can be, you may have a deep dev thought that comes up.
A deep dev thought?
Deep dev thought.
My latest deep dev thought is a half a bagel with
what's your time?
with either a schmear or something on it.
What's your timer say?
My timer says it's bagel time.
You're a liar, Dev. I have 30 more seconds. So your homework is to write down in the journal. We're going to read some of your journal entries. And we'll probably watch Dumb and Dumber next week.
I need all the help I can get.
Oh, yeah. You're going to write your journal. Bruce is going to stay on it. We're going to read some journal entries next week and find out what's going on in the world of Dev.
Okay.
Sounds like a plan. All right. Well, I think.
Did you tell Bruce you've assigned him?
His homework is to wrangle you, which I feel like is his homework also.
W-R-A-N-G-L-E?
Amen.
What is it to wrangle somebody?
To keep them
energized.
Keep them energized, or just keep them in the realm of reality, maybe, or to keep them from straying too far from their path. We're going to keep you focused on what's happening in your life so you can be more cognizant. Sound good?
I'm hopeful.
You're just hopeful because you have a bagel in front of you now.
Listen, this, I got serious help here.
Amen. Oh, Dev, it's always a pleasure talking to you. It's even more fun watching you dive into that bagel.
Do you want something?
Yeah, I'm going to wait the 30 seconds it takes for the show to end, and then I'm just going to make myself a bagel. Because I have patience, Dev.
I hoped I did, too.
All right, I'm going to let you finish that bagel. It was such a great time. I love you. We'll be back next week. So until then, guys, stay happy, stay funny, and stay alive.
Stay alive.